Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, August 18th of 2020. Man, can't believe that. We're more than halfway through August, closing in on September. I know, can't believe it. Summer's about done. Fall will be here before you know it. And so glad to have you here tonight. Wherever you are, however you're tuning in, whether you're across town or across the world, we're so glad to have you. It always feels good to have my listeners tuning in, always. Like I said last night even, sometimes we have listeners that tune in from across the globe. And it's just amazing. It's an amazing thing. Like I said before, we've had listeners from multiple different countries of Africa, people from France, Germany, and Europe, United States, Canada, and North America, Australasia, different countries in Asia, South America, like I said. And it's great to see the Word of God going out, going forth. And I'm just so glad to have you. And my hope is that you've come expecting to learn something tonight from the Word of God. As tonight, I'm going to talk about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it talks about, in Romans, it talks about don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And all that, and I'll be like, it's good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the renewing of your mind. And what does that mean? Why is it so important that we renew our mind? Why can't we just keep our mind the way it is? Why can't we? No, I'm not asking you, listeners. We're going to deal with that later when we go to the Word of the Lord. But I hope you've come ready to be renewed, ready to move on in a relationship with God, not wanting to stay in the place where you are. Obviously, that's the hope. You're supposed to want to go forward, advance, and advance in the faith, and advance in all the different ways. And so it's going to be good. And then for sports, a quick Tigers update, and I know there's the Democratic convention, but I'm not going to take the time to get into that. I really don't. Not a political show. I'll just basically say, from what I had heard, it was kind of like watching a rerun of one of those Marriott infomercials. Never had such a thing. I remember back in the day on the Weather Channel, I used to see these short infomercials for AmeriSuites, which got brought up by a certain chain, I don't know who, but they used to advertise, you know, don't downsize, AmeriSize. And they had like the free breakfast buffet every morning, which to me sounds so good right now. I could go for a hotel waffle maker with, you know, their biscuits and gravy, their yogurt, their oatmeal. I feel like hotel goes out of business and you buy a bunch of the stuff, I feel like you should have the rights to make it. Like from like Best Western or something. Just dreaming, that's all. Hampton or whatever, but that's what the DNC was like. It was like one of those old hotel commercials. Not much policy. But that's all I'm going to say about it. Moving on. I have a really cool story to tell you guys about. So there's this lady in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Her name is Sheila. I forget her last name, but she lived in a mobile home on a highway called Highway 58. Like the north part of Chattanooga. Not like by Hamilton Place, which is more like northeast. This is more like north central Chattanooga. So this lady has lived, she's 75 years old. She's lived in the same mobile home park since the 50s, 1958 to be exact. Well, Saturday morning, she gets out of bed, hears a ringing noise, while she's doing that, she smells smoke, and goes to the kitchen. Sure enough, there's a fire. She gets her sandals on, gets her clothes on, goes outside, having lost everything. But this lady said something so great. She said, she asked a couple of the Chattanooga Fire Department officers, can you go in there and check on my Bibles? And, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm telling a story. She said, can you go check on my three Bibles? That's what she asked. And he did. And the fire department people go in there. They grab all three of his Bibles. One of them, she opens up, has a certain portrait in it, and they're not even singed. The Word of God withstood the fire in that house. Now, the smoke detector saved her life, but ultimately she thanked God for saving her life. And she admitted, you know, that she was a Christian lady. I was just looking at the, scrolling on one of the Chattanooga news station's apps. As Chattanooga is one of my all-time favorites. As a matter of fact, all of my all-time favorites are in the South. The ones that aren't in Ohio, they're in the South. Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Alabama. Those kind of places. But like I said, that was so cool. The word of God was not singed. And the word of God is a sure foundation. And obviously, she thanked the fire department in that. I wonder if maybe it was someone I come across in all the visits I'd made to Chattanooga, like when I was very little, and I had all the surgeries there. Her name was Sheila, like I said. That's a testimony of the goodness of God. Obviously, she wants to find another mobile home to live in. She's lived in one basically her whole life. She's 75 years old, like I said. And she wasn't ashamed to say that she was a Christian. She asked for her Bibles. Think about that. This lady has nothing else left but the clothes she had on, her sandals, and her Bible. Nothing else. But some of you might think, oh, it's you and some of these people from Tennessee. No. It's not about Tennessee, Chattanooga, any of that. About the goodness of God and about the Word of God. In this case, the Bible didn't even get singed. It's just like how those who were in the fiery furnace, they didn't even get singed from the fire. So that's kind of like a fiery furnace type story. And when I saw that awesome testimony, when I was looking this morning, I was thinking to myself, I have to make sure that I get this on my show and tell the listeners about it. And I was just thinking, you know, I have to make sure that I put this on my show. I saved it. Maybe at some point, maybe tomorrow night or something, I'll tell you her last name. But it was such a cool story. And who knows? Maybe she is someone I've run across. I don't know. Only God knows. And I was shocked that WRCB Channel 3 News reported it. I'm pretty impressed that they did that. They didn't even censor it. They didn't censor it. They could have. They chose not to. And that goes to show you the Word of God is the Word of God is the Word of God is the Word of God, and it never changes. Never changes. Don't give up on the Word. When you're going through trouble like that, that house is on fire, and you come out, that Word of God. Do what that lady did. Do what Sheila did. And she had not one, not two, three Bibles. Must have worn two of them out. My guess. Now me, because I'm believing for healing to be manifest, my Bibles all come in different books. My Bible, I mean, all comes in different books. But this lady had three Bibles, three of them. And God came through for her. And if not on earth, I really hope to meet the Sheila lady in heaven. I really do. And I'd say, Sheila, I was so proud of you for how you made that stand. How you, when the house was burning, you had those firemen go in there and see if they could rescue your three Bibles. And they did. My mom, she's my hero. She's a hero because she stood up for what she believed in. You know what that tells me? That tells me that that's a lady who puts value in the Word of God. As the Word of God comes with value. And obviously, when the house is on fire, you've got to act quick. And so, when you're 75, you're not exactly 30, 31 anymore. Or 21. Praise God. The Word of God works. The Word of God is a strong, firm foundation. And that's just a cool story. Very cool. Sweet Holy Spirit. It's just the goodness of God. Sometimes you just talk about the goodness of God and you talk about how he did something and how it won't happen. And sometimes for a second there, you just can't say anything. And I know we're on radio and that, but so you just got to go with the flow. You just got to go with the flow and let God flow. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you about a conference happening at Living Word Church next week. It's the Ministry of Health's conference. At this conference, which goes Tuesday night through Friday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. What we deal with at the Ministry of Health's conference is, of course, the Ministry of Health. In my mind right now is a verse that says, we are workers together with the Lord. Not just for him, with him. We are workers together with the Lord. Praise God. Workers together with the Lord. And, of course, Ministry of Helps involves all the different things that you do in the church that is not the pulpit. So that means like children's church workers and teachers, bathroom cleaners, the sanitize, door greeters, parking lot attendants, audio booth people, ushers, all those various things. And that's what we talk about at the Ministry of Helps conference. And the Ministry of Helps is very important. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good conference, as it always is. That to say, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, the times will be adjusted to be a bit earlier, so that I can be at the nighttime services, because to me, this conference is valuable. So I'm going to be there. Now, I want to remind you about the three things, the three homework assignments that we're supposed to be doing. Number one, read Psalm 23 out loud every day. Number two, is to read Psalm 91 daily. Number three, every day at 12 noon, we're cursing the virus. And high noon, wherever you are, your alarm is going off on your phone, just take a second and take authority over that virus. And gotta curse that thing. And I think prayers are starting to pay off. It's looking like it, because cases are down. In two of the states I followed, I didn't look at other states that I pay attention yet, but today's report compared to last Tuesday's report, in the case of Michigan, we went down by over 100 cases compared to last Tuesday, as far as the daily amount of new cases, like 4-something compared to 5-something last week. That state to the south, they were minus 200 cases compared to last Tuesday. That's really good to see. Prayers are working. Just got to keep praying. Of course, we're cursing the virus. And we're also cursing, we're dealing with the spirits behind it. Koron, which is I have named the demon behind the virus. And the moron. Also, stupid. That is the spirit behind all these restrictions, lockdowns, mask orders. And that's behind the spirit behind what I could, whatever you want to call it, the mask up, lockdown, shutdown, the shut up, which is one that I kind of called unique to me. I called it the shut up. Why? Because basically, especially between March and May, it was basically like, shut up and do what we tell you. You know, Fauci, Burks, governors, and all that. By that, I mean, like, stay home, can't really go to the store. Of course, now we got restaurants in many states opening back up. Stores, things, cases are going on. We just got to believe God. And also, I'm going to add number four. Every day from here on out, we're over America. We have an election coming up in just over 75 days, and we need prayer over the election. Those of you listeners who live in these other countries, you can pray too. Keep America in your prayers, please. Pray that the Christians get out there and vote. And those of you listening, those of you who live here in America and your citizens, get out there and vote on Election Day. I'll be doing it. Whenever there's an Election Day, generally what I do, I make sure that the first place I go outside of my house is to the poll, the polling place, to vote. Because that's how important I see it, listeners. And I see it as important. But what I want you to do, of course, listeners, is to vote Christian. Vote Bible. Don't just vote based on your pocketbook and how it was compared to last month or last year or before the plague hit. No. You got to vote Christian. And in America, the choice has never been clearer. The choice has never been clearer, in case you didn't notice. Every day. Over America. And I think of that verse right now. 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, I would forgive them their sin, and I would heal their land. Praise God. And how many of you listeners know that America needs a serious healing right now? And when you vote, of course, don't just pay attention to the presidential. Pay attention to the state races, your township races, your city races, if you live in a city. Some of the problems with these big cities and some of these other cities that aren't doing so well, you want to know what's wrong with them? They've had the wrong people running them. They got the wrong people running them. Why? Because the right people aren't voting. That's why you got to go vote. Vote Bible. And that's why it's so important. And listeners, if over the next, 75 days, if it comes somewhat of a broken record or something. I don't mean it to be a broken record, listeners, but I will say this. It's very important. If the wrong people get voted in this time, America, as we know it, is done. America, as we know it, will be done. Will become like a Venezuela or some of these other countries. And we don't want that. That's why we have to vote and pray. I don't want to keep saying vote. Because then it's like, oh, you want me to vote like 8 times and vote for all 8 of those people who lived in that same house the past 25 years. No. One person, one vote. But by all means, pray. And praise God. Now, I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then we are going to go into the Word of the Lord tonight. Like I said, they were rocking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. But Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. They were rocking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. Then Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. Oh, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. It's all fine. Yeah, it's all fine. It's God's new wine. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spoken by the prophet Joel. The Pentecost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm hungry for the move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for a move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for the move of God. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Move among us. We need your presence. Spirit of God, touch me. Touch me. Wind of God, touch me. Touch me. Touch me, Lord. Wind of God, touch me. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Move among us. We love your presence. Yes, we do, Lord. Oh, wind of God, touch me. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our voice and we offer up this praise unto your name. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our voice as we lift our hands. And we lift our hearts to you, Lord God. As we lift our hands, and we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our lives. We surrender everything we have to you tonight. All we have is yours tonight, Jesus. Just take it. Take it from us. Take it. Move on us. Move among us. And do with us. Come, Lord, and do whatever you want to do tonight. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to just do whatever it is you want to do tonight. And we are just so grateful to you tonight for everything you've done in us, everything you're going to do, and everything you're doing right now. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' matchless name. I make my confession tonight over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank you for a huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen, listeners. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 11. And, sorry, we're going to begin with verse 11. And I want to encourage you, listeners, to whatever I do, why not? You do what you are. And if I sing, you sing. As I study the Bible, you follow along with me. Of course, if you're driving, do whatever, and you can't open it up, then by all means, just listen more careful. But be a part. Don't just sit and spectate and watch me. Be a part, because that's how you're going to get everything the Lord has for you. Say, what you going to teach, Miracle Man? Well, we're going to talk about the renewing of the mind. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you, Gentiles. In a sense, as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow cause my own people. I mean, that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and may save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be what life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over these branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. But God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, grafted in to a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will those, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. Is my covenant with them when I take away their sins? As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. As far as election is concerned, nope. This is not talking about the elections of the United States or Canada or any other country for that matter. Nope. As far as that is concerned, election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts that you call are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, you have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond tracing. Turning the page, I'm sorry. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him, or from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In other words, that's where we get that from. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Chapter 12 now. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a dying sacrifice. Sorry about that. You can just imagine your listeners hoping you're saying no in your homes. Listeners, I have to do that once in a while, trusting that you'll all say no. So that I know you're paying attention. That's just seeing if you're listening to me. For I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your to present your bodies a living sacrifice, unholy. Does it matter where you live? I mean, how you live, how you go? Oh, that's the way some people like to think of it. Okay, we'll read again. Therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing or acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Of course, my version says your spiritual act of worship. I like those, some of these ones that I really, 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 really know. And I've heard it like hundreds and thousands and thousands of times. I just say it the way I've heard it the most. But most of them, of course, I read it the way the version says. But of course, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Therefore, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just threw that O in there. Sorry. The verse didn't say O. By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve the will of God. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves as any higher than what you ought to think. Rather, think of yourself as with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If his gift is serving, let him serve. That's what Ministry of Helps is about. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage, let him exhort. If it's contributing to the needs of others, in other words, if it's giving, let them give. Your time, your talents, your finances. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless you. It's not cursed. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another, and do not be proud. As otherwise, don't be living prideful, but instead be able to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil with evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of everybody, excuse me. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. My friends, leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is my vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a Coca-Cola or give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, let's talk about this renewing of your mind. So, Romans 12:1, and that part of one where it says, therefore, present yourselves as the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not conform to the spirits of the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is, you say, Miracle Man, what is the renewing of your mind? Well, part of the renewing of your mind is reading your Bible, going to church, and if you've just gotten saved, and you start reading your Bible, you start going to church, you're on fire for God, you're running after the things of God, you should find that in some ways, your mind starts to change. That I don't think about this thing the way I used to. Obviously, in some ways, you might think the same, like, whatever was good, but you'll find that, of course, your mind, it's easy to have junk, to get junk in your mind. Based on what you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're in life even. That's why we have to wash our minds. We have to wash it and bathe it with the water of the Word of God. Not with philosophies of other people, but with the water of the Word of God. And I know they talk about the meat of the Word, the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is more like for the babies. But sometimes we all need to be reminded of the basics of faith and what have you. But we also need meat, the meat of the Word. And of course, your mind needs the water of the Word. And but this renewing of your mind is about, part of it is, you shouldn't be thinking higher of yourself than what you ought to think. You're not supposed to be prideful, you're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to be humble in your eyes before God. And realize, you know, what you really are. And it's very important that you examine yourself, examine your mind. And it's very easy to, and a lot of what you'll say, of course, out of your mouth is based on what you think in your mind. This thing, your head. Yep, your head. And you got to get to that point that you're thinking the thoughts of God. You're thinking what God wants you to think. Not just thinking what you want to think. Because what you think, if you continue to think it, and think it, and think it, and think it, and think it, eventually you're going to speak it. As example, if you learn a certain thing, no, I'm not making this a mental class by any means. I'm just saying, if you learn a certain poem or a pledge or something, and you taught it, then eventually you'll say it. Like, even if it's, of course, that's when it's, everyone say it together, like the Pledge of Allegiance or something else. But, and then eventually you get to where you know what it is, and you start saying it. But obviously, are you just saying it because you're supposed to say it, or are you saying it because it's how you really feel? And so, of course, in renewing your mind, you have to guard what you feed your mind. You have to guard what you're feeding it in terms of what are you reading? How are you reading the Word of God at all? Are you? If you're not, why? You've got to get some Word of God in there in order to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And you can't keep conforming to the spirit of the world. None. Which right now it's just gotten crazy. With this whole virus thing. I mean, in some of these cities or states, I never thought I'd see the day in America that I was on this planet. I never thought I'd see the day in America that states would close churches. What ordered them to be closed? Sadly, I saw that day. Before you listeners think of Romans 13-ing me, let me remind you of this. An executive order is not a law. I'll say it again. An executive order is not a law if it's passed unilaterally. Because executive order, means a directive signed by one person. And so, like, these orders that ban these gatherings, like in churches and that, that's a freedom of religion is a right guaranteed by the Constitution. And therefore, these orders can't closing churches unconstitutional. Some of these governors in that really need to renew their mind badly. Some of them, if I knew them well enough, I should just sit there and make them read one of the books of the Bible like three times, back to back to back. Maybe make them read Romans like 3-4 times. And then make them repeat to me like 20 times, do not be transformed by the world, by the things are going on, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is that reasonable servant. And then those of you who are going through stuff, let's say you believe in God for a healing in your body. Well, a big question becomes, not only am I tithing, got to make sure you're not holding grudges, you're not breaking hedges, and then when you look at that, ultimately one of the big areas you really need to look at is, what's my mind? What's my thought processes? Am I thinking the way I think? Am I thinking of myself or God thinks about me? Am I thinking of myself how I ought to think? Or am I thinking of myself higher than I ought to think and full of pride? And if you find that your mind's not right, then ultimately you got to deal with your mind first. Get that thing renewed. Get back on track. Get back in the Word. Start washing that mind of yours, scrub-a-dub-dubbing. The dirt start trying to keep flying, and you're going to open up the Bible again? Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
two more chapters. Or, like the dart, it's not exactly live human beings making those noise. I was just doing that thing because The brain. You got to renew that thing. You got to guard that thing. Your mind. It's the biggest thing you have to wash with the water of the Word of God. You have to. It's really important. You have to wash it. Your mind is enmity against God. Your mind is enmity. And life and death are in the power of the tongue. What can come from what you speak a lot of what, obviously you don't say everything that's in your mind, of course, but much of what you speak is part of what is in your mind. So, of course, like your mind's like a computer. And, of course, your computer has memory in it. You know, the hard drive. You know what your mind is. It's like that hard drive. It stores all your memory. And in it, and this is why we have to renew our mind. That doesn't mean you go get a new head. It's still your head. But the more spiritual you get, the more on fire for God you get, and the more you take authority. And it's always good to check your brain before God. Take authority over it. Making sure you're not thinking things you're not supposed to think. Sorry, I was just thinking for a second. And some of us really need to look at, think about, what are we thinking? Or we'll say you're really angry. Something, what? Which God said in your anger, do not sin. And you may wonder, why am I saying these things? Why? Could maybe be that you're thinking these things. And maybe it just entered your brain and then you said it, and maybe you didn't mean it. But still, you got to watch. And of course, the devil wants us to disobey, think bad thoughts, but God wants us to obey and think good thoughts. And when you renew your mind, you'll be focused on that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And, of course, we looked at those things on pride and not thinking of yourself higher than you ought to think. And don't repay evil with more evil. Don't go slug your brother or choke your brother back just because he slugged or choked you. Of course, as Christians, we're not supposed to be doing that. And you don't always know what everyone's dealing with. You don't always know their situation. So you just got to pray. And you got to, course, like I said, renew. the mind. Refocus. And get on focus with God so that you're focused on the things of God. You're focused on being on that pleasing will of God. Of course, you always, and of course, every so often you got to ask God, you know, Lord Jesus, am I in your will? Where I'm at right now in this season of life, is this where you want me to be? Is this what you want me to be doing? If not, then depending on how you're not, ask God to help you. To get on track. So that you can be where God wants you. Because it's really important that you are where God wants you. It's better to be where God wants you and I'm not necessarily talking location. I'm talking like doing the things that God wants you to do. The relationship with God and all that kind of stuff. As that really is important to God. It really is. And that's why you have to check yourself and make sure that you're in that spot that God wants you to be and that you're following the assignment of God that God has, the plan that God has for your life. And so, amen. Lord, thank you for this word tonight as we discussed the renewing of our mind. I thank you, Lord God, that you're working on us. You're making us into who we want, who we ought to be. It took you a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, Jupiter, Mars. How lovely and patient you must be, Lord, as you're still working on me. And you're working on us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are just always there for us. And Lord Jesus, right now, I take a moment to pray over all these listeners. Thank you that you heal their minds right now. I take authority right now over the spirit of depression, the spirit of oppression, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of homicide, whatever it is that's ministering, these ministering spirits are broken right now off from these listeners in the name of Jesus. I don't know what they're all dealing with. You do. You can just fix it, Lord. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And now, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're healing these listeners in their bodies. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of all sickness, all disease, whatever it is. You don't discriminate, Lord. You don't discriminate. You can even heal the virus. You can, you can even heal COVID. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are healing these people of all manner of affliction, disease, infirmity, that you're just healing them and making them whole. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are just doing miracles in these listeners tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, Tigers last night, they had a loss to the White Sox 4-2, and they'll be trying again tonight in Detroit. So they'll be trying again. Also, there have been two different petitions circulating in Michigan trying to get MHSAA to reverse their position. Both of them have thousands of signatures. And I hope MHSAA sees them and changes their mind, because I really think they should at least try again to have a fall season. I heard the drum line outside practicing this morning from my house, and they were sounding good as always. Those of you that know me, listeners, you know that the band is one of my favorite parts of these games, of course, other than the football itself. And we'll have to see. Even the president said he wants football to come back. In the case of, he'd even like to, it was up to him, he'd really want the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to come back. I do. Because, you know me, you know I really enjoy me some good football. NFL. Players need to learn their lessons and not kneel, because a couple of years ago, the kneeling, and I was thinking of what our president said a couple of years ago. He said, get that guy off the field, out, he's fired. He's fired! And I love how he said that and how it got all those people riled up. If I was him, I'd be saying that again the night that the season started. If I was doing a rally, I would totally be doing that in front of all those people. Right at the time. First off, my rally was right at the time that they were about to do the anthem, you know. I would literally be doing it right at that time. I'd be like, get that guy off the field, out, he's fired. And to make a point, you know, that the kneeling, they can't kneel. That's why I can't watch basketball right now, because they're still kneeling. And we need to pray that this whole kneeling thing stops and that we get respect back in our country. All right. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.